want to look at a few proverbs that deal with the subject of fearing the Lord. First of all, we need to define what we mean by fearing the Lord, or the kind of fear that these proverbs are dealing with. It's not what we would call a servile or slavish fear. Such fear is full of apprehension and dismay. We see when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they feared God, and as a result, they dreaded to see God and sought to hide themselves from the Lord. And that's not the kind of fear that we're talking about. But ever since that day that Adam and Eve sinned, Adam's children have been subject to that kind of fear, where they flee the Lord and they dread God. Man today dreads a God of the Bible. Man today seeks to flee and seeks to hide themselves from the God of the Bible. The fear that Adam and Eve had was a fear that, again, just like many have today, it comes from guilt, and it causes people to try to shut God out from their thoughts and from their minds, and to place themselves in places where they imagine that God is not. And so that kind of fear always draws men, or drives men away from God. And that's not the kind of fear that we're dealing with. The fear of the Lord spoken of in these proverbs is the same that Solomon spoke of when he was talking about the pursuit of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is, it's the principal thing for spiritual knowledge. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So the fear of the Lord, this fear that we're talking about tonight, is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of spiritual knowledge. You can't have spiritual knowledge without this fear of God. You can't have heavenly wisdom without this fear of God. It's what Job talked about in Job 28 and verse 28. He said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. It's not only the beginning of wisdom. It is wisdom. It is the manifestation of wisdom. So this fear of the Lord that we're talking about is a fear that does dread not God, but it is a fear that dreads God's displeasure, and it is a fear that desires the favor of God, desires to please God. It is a fear that has a regard for the person of God. So what we're talking about is reverence. And there is very little reverence today for God. And one of the reasons is because how God is presented in most pulpits. He's presented as something that is below man. He's certainly not presented as something that would demand reverence. So this fear of God is reverence. It's respect. It's admiration. It's affection for God. It's an honor for God. It is to esteem God. And without this reverence, there is no spiritual knowledge. Without this reverence, there is no wisdom from above. You see, it's the lack of this reverence that is really the root problem of everything else. People have different failures in their life, different ways that they fail the Lord, but it really all comes back to a lack of this fear of the Lord. The reason people are always dabbling in sin and playing with sin is because they lack a fear of God. They lack a reverence for God. And this is a reverence that is commanded. Notice in the fourth psalm, and verse 4, Psalm 4, verse 4, we simply read, "Stand in awe." And that's what it means to fear God. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. To fear God is to stand in awe of God. And as we've said many times before, the word awesome today is thrown around and it's almost become a meaningless word. God is awesome. How far someone hits a baseball is not awesome. How many touchdowns somebody catches in a year is not awesome. How many yards a quarterback can throw a football is not awesome. God is awesome. And we are to stand in awe of God. This is reverence the Lord. We are to pass, 1 Peter 1, verse 17, we're to pass the time of our sojourning in fear. You see, this fear of the Lord is part of the whole duty of man that we read of in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Reverence the Lord. And it flows from a consideration of what God has done. In order to fear God, you've got to take the time to think about God. You've got to take the time to meditate upon who God is. You have to take the time to meditate on what God has done. And the result is an awe. The result is a reverence for the Lord. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. And notice what it says. For consider how great things He hath done for you. So, fear the Lord. Consider how great things He hath done for you. And in considering that, how can you not honor Him? How can you not admire Him? How can you not esteem Him? How can you not have an affection for Him? This is what this fear is. It is a reverence for God. It flows from a sense of His love and mercy in forgiving sinners. Notice in Psalm 130 and verse 4. Psalm 130 and verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, that thou mayest be reverenced, that thou mayest be honored, that thou mayest be esteemed and admired. So you think about who God is. You think about what God has done. You think about what God has bestowed upon you. And there ought to be a reverence for the Lord. This is why worship today has basically become meaningless as far as true worship. Because it takes a fear of God. It takes a reverence for God. How can you possibly worship God if you do not reverence the Lord? So this is what this fear we're dealing with tonight. When the Bible describes a true believer, when the Bible describes a true worshiper of God, he is often said to be one who fears the Lord. The Lord told Abraham there on Mount Moriah, remember when he was offering his son Isaac, he said, "For now I know that thou fearest God." That is, Abraham manifested that he had a reverence for God. It is said of Obadiah in 1 Kings 18 and verse 3 that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. That is, he had a reverence for the Lord. As a result, he desired to help the people of God. It is said of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42 that he feared God with all his house. It is a wonderful thing to have it said of you that you fear God, that you have a reverence of God. And it's this kind of fear that leads one to God and not from God. It is this kind of fear that's not going to cause you to hide from God. It's not going to cause you to dread God. But it's this kind of fear that causes you to want to be close to the Lord. So let's look at some of these proverbs that deal with this subject in Proverbs 14 in verse 2. Proverbs 14 in verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. So in this proverb, there is a contrast. There is a contrast between the one who fears God or who reverences the Lord. There is a contrast between this individual and the individual that despises the Lord. And the word despises here simply means he thinks lightly of the Lord. He does not give the Lord much consideration. A lot of God's people are guilty of despising the Lord. When you and I think of the word despise, we think of hatred. But to despise something, again, also means just to think lightly of it. It's not worthy of your thought. And many of God's people go through a day, and may I say, a day that God has given them with very, very little thought of God. Some with no thought whatsoever. That is an act of irreverence. So there's a contrast drawn between these two individuals. One fears God. One despises God. But I want you to notice here in Proverbs 14 and verse 2 that both are identified by their conduct and by their lifestyle. So it's not hard, just by observing, to figure out who it is that has a reverence for God and who it is that gives God little or no thought whatsoever. We see those who reverence God are upright in their walk. That is, they have behavior that honors and glorifies God. On the other hand, the one who despises God or thinks lowly of God, this individual is said to be perverse in the way he lives. That is, he lives his life contrary to God. You can walk contrary to God, and you can do so in a habitual way, and you can come to a point where you go to the Lord and you say, "I'm sorry for walking in such a way." But really, what you need to do is you need to go further back than that. Because what caused you to walk corruptly,
what caused you to walk contrary to God was irreverence for God. And you need to repent of that. That's the root problem. And you need to get to the root problem. And as we've said many times, that's the problem today. Very rarely do God's people ever get to the root problem. We deal with symptoms. And we never get to the root problem. And that's why we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's why people continue to fall into the same sins over and over again, because they've never got to the root problem of the matter. And in this case, the root problem is a failure to reverence God. Now, that which is perverse simply means that which is depraved, that which is degenerate, that which is immoral, that which is twisted, corrupt, and evil. And those who think lightly of God, that's how they live their life. So one's life is a manifestation of what we think of God. You can say a lot of things. You can declare what you think of God, but your life manifests what you think of God. And your life manifests where God is in your list of priorities. Your life manifests that. No matter what you say, your life is a manifestation, whether or not you truly reverence God or whether you think lightly of the Lord. Then notice in Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Several things here. First of all, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So in a reverence for God, there's confidence there. The one who has a reverence for God trusts God. And when you trust God, you have confidence. When you trust God, you have conviction. So in the fear of the Lord, there is trust. In the fear of the Lord, there is conviction. But notice also there is security in the fear of the Lord, and that is brought out by the fact that God's children have a place of refuge. Those who fear God have a security. Those who fear God, those who reverence God, have a peace of mind that no one else has. They have an inward assurance that no one else has. But notice also in this fear of the Lord is the enjoyment of life, which is seen by the phrase, the fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, which speaks of enjoyment. There is an enjoyment of life in reverencing God. The most miserable individuals in the world today are those who think lightly of God. Those who are most happy, those who have most joy, are those who have a reverence for God, those who have an affection for God, those who have an esteem for God, those who honor God. These are individuals who can enjoy life. Life is not meant to be lived without God. So if you attempt to live life without God, you're going to be miserable. It is in reverence to God that you find enjoyment. So we see there's confidence in the fear of God. There's security. There's enjoyment of life. But notice also there is protection from destruction. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, verse 27, to depart from the snares or the traps of death. Reverence for God will protect you from a lot of things. It'll protect you from destruction. When you try to live life without God, when you try to live life in your own way, you are walking a path that is filled with destruction. There is destruction on both sides of that road. There is destruction in the road. Everywhere you go is destruction. Everywhere you go is the snares of death. But to walk in the reverence of God, there is deliverance. There is protection from the snares of death. There is a reason. We don't believe in luck, but it's not bad luck that some people have, that things just never seem to work out. That's not the reason. The reason is they're living life their own way. And they're always falling into the snares of death because they lack a reverence for God. So this reverence for God, you see, is good for ourselves, which brings us to Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Now that proverb coincides with what Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 15, and that is, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. What matters is not so much what you hold in your hand. What matters is what is in your heart. And if there is the fear of the Lord in your heart, that is, if there is a respect for God in the heart. There is little respect today for God. And I'm talking amongst God's people. Very little respect for God. This is shown in the way God's people talk, the way God's people use God's name. It is shown in the way that people approach the Lord. It is shown in the way that people worship the Lord. Very little respect for God. Very little admiration for God. Very little honor for God. Very little esteem for God. Very little affection for the Lord. But no matter what the circumstances that a child of God may find themselves in, whatever those circumstances are, however adverse those circumstances may appear, if that individual has reverence in their heart for God, that is better. That is more advantageous. That is more useful. That is more valuable than all earthly treasure. We need to realize that. Fear of God with just and all you have is a little bit, that's still more valuable than if you have no fear of God and you have great treasures of the world. So it is the fear of God that we ought to seek. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord, we've already seen, as the beginning of knowledge and as the beginning of wisdom. Here we see the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. So, we've already seen that the fear of the Lord is the principal part of knowledge. It is the principal part of wisdom. But here we see the fear of God, the reverence of God, is the instruction of wisdom. That is, to reverence God teaches us wisdom. It trains us in the ways of wisdom. It directs us in the ways of wisdom. It grounds us in wisdom. That's what it means to be instructed. It means to be taught. It means to be trained. It means to be directed. It means to be grounded. And the reverence of God grounds us in wisdom. That's the only way you can have heavenly wisdom. Your heart has to be right. You have to have a reverence of God. And we see here that this proverb also teaches us that there is a definite connection between humility and wisdom. And there is a definite connection between humility and reverence for God. Paul spoke of this in Romans 11 and verse 20. He said, "Be not high-minded, but fear. Be not high-minded, but fear." In other words, you can't be high-minded and fear God at the same time. You can't be filled with pride. You can't be lifted up with yourself and reverence God at the same time. It's one or the other. And whenever we reverence God, there has to be humility. But then notice in Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." But then notice the latter part. "And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." By the fear of the Lord, by a reverence for God, by an admiration and an affection for God, by an esteem of God, men will depart from evil. They will not play with it. They will not trifle with it. They will not seek to justify it. They will not seek to excuse it. They will not cast blame. They will simply depart from evil. That's what reverence does. So if reverence causes one to depart from evil, and to depart simply means to withdraw. So reverence for God will cause us to withdraw ourselves from sin. When we find ourselves in the proximity of sin, a mere reverence for God will cause us to withdraw ourselves from it. Now, if that is so, and it is, then what does irreverence do? Just the opposite. Irreverence doesn't depart from God. Irreverence moves towards sin. Reverence causes you to withdraw. Irreverence causes you to move towards sin. Why is it that some of God's people seem to always be moving towards sin? They can never seem to get over the hump. They're always moving towards sin. Oh, they might have a good week here and there, but they're always moving towards sin. What's the problem? What is the problem? The problem is a lack of reverence for God. Because by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Again, it's not bad luck. They just always seem to be in the wrong places. You know why they're always in the wrong places? Because they lack wisdom. And you know why they lack wisdom? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It all gets back to a lack of reverence for God. And that's what they need to repent of, is this lack of reverence for the Lord. So a reverence for God will cause us to depart from evil. Notice in Proverbs chapter 3, along those lines, Proverbs 3 and verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." The two go together. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth, again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool is the one who does not fear God. The fool is the one who does not reverence God. He rageth and is confident, and he's always falling into sin. So you see, once again, the fear of the Lord will save your life from many things. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Here there's a threefold fruit set forth in this proverb. First of all, we see the fear of the Lord tendeth. That is, it has an inclination. It is bent and it leans toward life. Not the common life of the ungodly, but spiritual life. A fear of God in our hearts, a reverence for God in our hearts, inclines us toward spiritual things and toward spiritual life. We see also that it brings satisfaction. He that hath it shall be satisfied. That is, it brings contentment. It brings fulfillment, it brings enjoyment, it brings happiness. The fear of God does that. Reverence for God does that. Reverence for God makes us content. Makes us content to simply be in the will of God. We don't need any more than that. Makes us content that we're pleasing God. We don't need to seek anything else. Just simple reverence for God brings contentment and happiness. And another fruit of the fear of the Lord is security. He shall not be visited with evil. There's security in the fear of God. There is security in respecting the Lord. Then notice in Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord. So again, the two are linked. Humility and fear of the Lord. Three things are the result. Riches, obviously talking about spiritual riches. Not all who have a, in fact most, who have a reverence for God are not what the world would consider to be materially rich. But anyone who has a reverence for God is rich. Again, better is a little with fear of the Lord. Anyone who fears God is rich spiritually. And he has honor. That is, he has the honor of the Lord. He has the blessings of God upon his life. Notice in regard to that in Psalm 33, verse 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. That's the blessing of God. The eye of God is upon them that fear him. Notice in Psalm 103 and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth or has compassion upon his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You see, there's the blessing of God
upon their life. That's this honor that we're talking about in Psalm 147, verse 11. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him. What a life for the Lord to take pleasure in you. What a life. What a wonderful life for the Lord to take pleasure in you. And the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, those who reverence him. So by, again in Proverbs 22 and 4, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches. There is honor. That is, there is the blessings of God, and there is life. That is, there is the enjoyment of life. The best way to enjoy life is to reverence God. The best way to enjoy life is to have God as your priority in life. That is the way to enjoy life. You're not going to lose by doing that. You're going to enjoy life. And especially you are going to enjoy spiritual life. And then in Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let not thine heart envy sinners. What that means is, when you envy sinners, it means that there is a desire within you to do what they're doing. What is the remedy for that? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. A reverence for God in your heart will prevent you from wanting to do what everyone else is doing. Again, people go through stages in their life, and many times they want to do what the world's doing. They want to wear what the world's wearing. They want to go where the world is going. But the remedy for that is the fear of the Lord. That's the remedy. Moms and dads, you can make all kinds of rules. But what you need to be doing, you can make your rules, but what you need to be doing is praying that God would put in their heart a reverence for him. Because that's the remedy. That's what will solve the problem of fear of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you want to do what sinners are doing, you want to wear what sinners are wearing, you want to go where sinners are going, you just want to be like them, it's because you lack a reverence for God. Now you may not like that, but it's the truth. Because where there is the fear of the Lord, we will not envy sinners. We see here that we are to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. This is not just a whim. This is not just something that we do every now and then. It is a manner of life to wake up in the morning and to have a reverence for God. To go through your day and have a reverence for God. To go to bed in the evening and have a reverence for God. And then start all over again the next day. That's living. That's the way to live life. And we are to pray. We are to pray that God would give us a reverence for the Lord. That'll solve a lot of problems. Psalm 86 and verse 11, the psalmist said, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And we are, once we have the fear of God within us, we have a reverence for God within us, we are to maintain the fear of the Lord. This is what God told Israel in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua. He's telling them, maintain a fear of the Lord. He says, fear the Lord always. That is, you have to maintain this spirit of reverence for God. I'm telling you, it'll spare you many troubles. And it will deliver you from the depths of sin. And living in the fear of God changes one's attitude toward life, changes one's outlook toward life, and causes them to live for the honor and glory of God. And it will also cause you to want to give God the very best that you have. Notice in Genesis 22, we've already made reference to this, but in Genesis 22 and verse 12, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." The reason we withhold from God is a lack of reverence for the Lord. The more reverence we have of God, the more we're willing to give unto the Lord. And the more we are filled with ourselves, the more we hold back from God. And then lastly, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. "Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby," that is by grace, "we may serve God acceptably." It's only by the grace of God that we can serve God acceptably. And that serving God acceptably is with reverence and godly fear. That's the only way to serve God. That is the way that you and I, as children of God, are to live our lives. And that's why I believe it's very important. People times get upset. They get bored. I don't understand it. But you need to know about God. God's people need to be taught the doctrine of God. Who he is, what he is, what he does. Because it's only there that we can have reverence for God. And it doesn't do us any good to just learn these things in our heads. We need to learn the doctrine of God, and it needs to be in our hearts. And when it's in our hearts, and when you get the sovereignty of God in your heart, how can you not reverence him? When you get the holiness of God in your heart, how can you not reverence him? Reverence is just, it's the natural result of knowing these things. So we need to learn these foundational truths concerning God, because that's where we find reverence for God. And really, that's what our service is built upon, is a reverence for God. You can't serve God acceptably. I mean, you can lay down all kinds of rules, and you can spend 20 years preaching rules, and you'll have one of two things, or maybe one of three things. You'll have, more than likely, some Pharisees who are just obeying rules to obey rules. That's not pleasing to God. You'll have those who just outwardly rebel against the rules. They're not going to follow the rules. And you'll have some who follow the rules for the right reasons. But what needs to be preached is the foundational truths of God.
that we would reverence God. And because we reverence God, we obey God. And because we reverence God, we don't have a problem with the rules of God. We don't have a problem with the commandments of God. If you have a problem with the commandments of God, that goes back to a lack of reverence for the Lord. So these are foundational truths. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all